I think often, frequently, there's a lack of spiritual progress, spiritual development, unfolding, because our emotions, our energy, are just not flowing into our spiritual practice. Our imagination has not become engaged. It's disconnected. It's kind of floating free. So we need to find connection, make connection. It's not easy for us because we, of course, are not in a traditional Buddhist culture. And in fact, we're in a world of broken images. We're not in any traditional culture. We're in this strange kind of postmodern culture where there's a proliferation of images, but without value, without meaning, just kind of floating free, and, you know, very often just appealing to, our own desire for, distraction and entertainment, our fantasies. So this is a big topic for us. We're moved by the Dharma, but we need to find a connection between the myths and symbols that we're in touch with and bring those to the Dharma, which can be done. This is a big, big topic. And I think one of the most important areas for modern Buddhists. It's the sort of territory that Bhante's tried to open up a lot in his, particularly in the journey to Il Convento and St. Jerome Revisited, a couple of papers he gave where he looked at his responses to, in this case, Renaissance art and image. It's a very, very important area. And in some ways, not an easy area, but very important. So this is why puja and visualization practice, visualization of the Buddha and Bodhisattvas, are of very great importance. They're not about getting some sort of emotional support, although that might well happen. They're not the expression of popular religion. They're profound spiritual practices. You're contemplating the image that it embodies your deepest values. And it's a total contemplation. It's your whole being that's engaged. You know, in a puja, that's actually what's going on. Our emotions are flowing in. Our intellect is there. There's chanting. There's significant ritual gesture. And our whole being is involved in the contemplation of our ideals. So first, we need to see the Tathagata's glorious body, his marks, his attributes. We need to have a sense, a feeling for the richness of Buddhahood. And this can happen in any way you wish. It could be Shakyamuni, the Buddha himself. It doesn't have to be, I'm not talking about anything sort of elaborate here. You might just be moved by Shakyamuni and just Shakyamuni and how he is in the Pali texts, and you know, that moves you enough. Well, that would be a great achievement if you had a response to Shakyamuni. But some people, it's, say, the mandala of the five Buddhas, or one of those five Buddhas, Amitabha, or Akshobhya, or Ratnasambhava. There's this incredible range of archetypal forms throughout Buddhist tradition. Bodhisattvas, protectors, gurus, extraordinarily rich. The innumerable beings of the mandala of enlightenment. And all that has developed because of the attempt to connect. There's a desire to connect with each and every one of us. We've all got our unique ways into the Dharma. This is expressed, you know, in our own order. At the time of ordination, you are initiated into a particular Buddha or Bodhisattva. But it's the Buddha or Bodhisattva that speaks to you, that you feel a deep, a profound connection with. That's your way in, that's your particular way into the Dharma that moves you. So this is all, it's very rich, it's a very rich area, a very rich field.